Welcome back to AEIOU, a podcast about Austria. This is Thames Darwin. When I began planning the first few episodes of this podcast, I found that much of what I was writing were long lists of monarchs, one following another, with not much information about any of them and a real tendency for me to confuse one with another. So instead of going margrave by margrave, instead, we'll cover in this episode around 275 years of history and focus in particular on the expansion of Austrian territory following the death of Leopold the Illustrious. Austria's primarily political relations during this period with the Catholic Church, and its relationship with its neighbor Bohemia. But first, I'd like to introduce to you another AI-generated voice that you've already heard and will be hearing more from going forward. That voice is Florian, since I'm already using an AI voice for the narration here. And since my German pronunciation is awful, I'll be using Florian for German phrases and words when needed. Say hello, Florian.
Guten Tag, Florian.
Back to our episode. The first thing to clarify is what territory exactly the Margraviate consisted of around 1000 CE. The Margraviate of Austria then consisted of what today are the Austrian states of Lower Austria and Upper Austria, with a capital at St. Pölten in Upper Austria. So that doesn't include anything north or west of around Braunau on the Inn River, birthplace of history's most famous Austrian, or south of around Wiener Neustadt, home of the famous
Theresianum
military academy. By the middle of the next century, however, Austria had expanded substantially. After the death of Leopold the Illustrious, the Babenberg Margrave, two of his sons ruled in succession, each added territory to the Margraviate, with the younger, Adalbert the Victorious, pushing the border to the Lether River, a tributary of the larger Danube River. This is significant because one of Austria's bynames, Cisleithania, will come from the fact that the near side of the Lethe is considered the edge of Austrian territory. Across that border is Transleithania, which will be synonymous, more or less, with the Kingdom of Hungary. In addition, the Babenbergs also expanded from Lower Austria northeasterly into land known today as the Waldviertel, or in English the Forest Quarter, to the south and southeast. They acquired the territory that today constitute the Austrian states of Styria and Carinthia. But perhaps most important of these early Babenbergs in terms of the geography of Austria was Leopold III, called Leopold the Good. By turning his attentions to urban development, Leopold III was largely responsible for taking an ancient Roman backwater called Vindobona and beginning its transformation into the city of Vienna. It would not become a proper capital for several hundred years. But it is right to say that Leopold III put Vienna on the map. For his efforts, he was canonized in 1485 and named patron saint of Austria in 1663. That's the territory part of the story. The political part of the story involves events in the 11th and 12th centuries and how Austria fared through both. The first was something called the investiture controversy. I mentioned in the first episode that the history of the Holy Roman Empire, of which Austria was merely a part during this period, was complicated but that it involved the relationship between the Pope and the Emperor. The investiture controversy was the first major conflict to emerge between the two. While in theory the Pope was supposed to crown the emperors saw the relationship as more of a two-way street and wanted to play a greater role in who became the Pope. So, while on its face, the investiture controversy was about who, the Pope or the Emperor, got to appoint bishops and abbots, abbots being the leaders of monasteries, it was really about the balance of power between the two men. In 1075, Pope Gregory VII asserted the Pope's sole right to appoint bishops. But he also asserted the subordinate status of the emperor to the pope. After stating in a document, "All princes shall kiss the feet of the pope alone," the pope went on to claim his right to depose the emperor and even the sole right to use the imperial insignia. The emperor at the time, Henry IV, took issue and a controversy began. Henry refused to acknowledge the rights the pope claimed. The pope excommunicated Henry and told the German people they owed him no fealty, and war broke out. The wars themselves need not concern us here. What concerns us is how the wars and their outcomes affected Austria. The Margrave of Austria in 1075 was Ernest the Brave, a grandson of Leopold the Illustrious. He threw his lot with the emperor and paid for doing so shortly thereafter, dying in battle at Langensalza fighting the Saxons, Saxony being another German state that had sided with the Pope. Ernest's son Leopold II, called the Fair, succeeded his father and, within 2 years, changed Austria's side to support the Pope and his reforms. With Leopold the Fair having betrayed the emperor in turn deposed Leopold as Margrave and replaced him with a rival from Bohemia, Vratislaus II. A battle ensued at Meilberg, which Leopold lost, along with Austrian territory adjacent to Bohemia. Ultimately, Vratislaus was made king of Bohemia, leaving Leopold what remained of his Margraviate until he died in 1095. The investiture controversy was resolved in 1122 with the Concordat of Worms, which effected a compromise between the positions of the Pope and Emperor. Such a compromise was probably possible because there were both a new Pope and a new Emperor. But peace was not to last. Instead, when that emperor died 3 years later, war broke out between two dynasties, the Hohenstaufens of Swabia and the Welfs of Bavaria. The Hohenstaufens were ultimately victorious and would hold the imperial throne for much of the second half of the 12th century. The Margrave in Austria in 1139. Leopold IV, son of the previous Leopold, sided against the Welfs with the Hohenstaufens, who were relatives of his mother's, and he was rewarded for it by being named Duke of Bavaria. Leopold did not live long enough to enjoy the union of Austria with Bavaria. He died in 1141 and his son Henry II succeeded him in both Austria and Bavaria. The leaders of Austria had reached their greatest heights yet, but would it last? The short answer, of course, is no. But the longer answer is a little more complicated. Henry, by number Henry II, ruled Austria and Bavaria from the city of Regensburg, today in Germany. But he eventually moved his capital to Vienna before going on crusade with the future Hohenstaufen Emperor Frederick Barbarossa in 1147. Once Barbarossa became emperor, he made peace with the Welfs and awarded Bavaria to Henry the Lion, the Duke of Saxony. This might seem like a poor reward to Henry II for going on crusade with the future emperor. But Barbarossa had a gift for Henry too. He elevated Austria from a margraviate to a duchy, formally making Austria independent from Bavaria. However, trouble was brewing to the east. We should stop a moment and briefly discuss the Bohemians. Who were they? Today, we know them as Czechs, the people who live in the Czech Republic, which has its capital at Prague. Very importantly, the Bohemians were not Germans. They were a Slavic people, which might or might not have contributed to their frequent conflicts with the German-speaking Austrian. Certainly it was a cause for conflict in the 19th century, but we are far from that date right now. In 1176, the Duke of Bohemia was Soboslav II. In that year, war broke out between Soboslav and the Austrian Duke, Henry II. The causes of the war are less important than its consequences. Henry was injured in battle and died early the following year. It was therefore left to his son, Leopold V, called Leopold the Virtuous, to make peace. He did so in 1179. He also was successful in reattaching Styria, which had been detached some years earlier and made into its own duchy, to Austria. This land acquisition is the first that the Duchy of Austria made that remains part of the Republic of Austria today. Like some of his predecessors, Leopold went on crusade in 1190. But his exploits in the Holy Land are less famous for his victories and more famous for a bit of mythology that arose at that time. If you look at the flag of Austria today, you see a simple banner of three horizontal stripes, two red stripes with a white stripe between them. Legend has it that Leopold was the inspiration for, if not the creator of, the flag. According to the British popular historian Simon Winder, in his book Danubia, A Personal History of the Habsburg Empire, Leopold quote was also, and this is getting very legendary, the origin of the Babenberger flag, reputedly inspired by his white crusader surcoat getting soaked in blood, which made a nice striped pattern. This flag had minor uses under the Habsburgs, whose own colors were black and yellow, but re-emerged in 1918 as the flag of the new Republic of Austria. A piece of deep continuity which makes even something as banal as a simple flag curious and strange. End quote. The other thing for which Leopold is most famous is his imprisonment of King Richard the Lionhearted of England, which was related to this flag. The short version of the story is that Richard refused to allow Leopold's flag to fly over the conquered Levantine city of Acre. In league with King Philip II of France and Emperor Henry VI, Leopold conspired to arrest and imprison Richard on his way home from the crusade. Part of the ransom for Richard was used to build the walls of Vienna. One of the more gruesome episodes of the story of Austria is the tale of Leopold's death. In 1194 in the city of Graz, the capital of Styria, a horse fell on Leopold and crushed his foot. The foot developed gangrene and required amputation, but no one would volunteer to chop it off. Ultimately, Leopold ordered his servants to cut the foot off. It took three swings of the axe, but it was eventually amputated. Unfortunately for Leopold, it was too late. He died of gangrene anyway. Leopold was succeeded by two of his sons, first a Frederick and then another Leopold, this one the sixth. Both men went on crusade like their father. Frederick died while returning from his. Leopold was luckier, not only going on crusade but also fighting with the Spanish in the Reconquista, the long series of wars by which Christian Spaniards wrested control of Iberia back from the Moors. In addition, he participated in the Albigensian Crusade, in which a heretical French sect of Christians, called the Cathars, were exterminated by French forces and papally enlisted volunteers. The final chapter of the life of Leopold VI took place in the context of a conflict known as the War of the Keys. It was one of those fairly common conflicts between secular rulers and the Vatican. In this case, the secular ruler was Emperor Frederick II, the Pope was Gregory IX, and the cause of the war was conflicting claims in the Kingdom of Sicily. Despite the name, the Kingdom of Sicily included substantial land on the Italian peninsula, as well as the titular island. The war, which was named for the insignia of keys on the papal flag, which are still there today, is far afield of our topic. That said, Duke Leopold was instrumental in negotiating peace between the two parties, which finally came in 1230 with the Treaty of San Germano. Leopold died only 5 days after the treaty was signed. He was succeeded by his son, Frederick II, called the Quarrelsome. That name does not bode well for his reign as the final Babenberg Duke of Austria. Unsurprisingly, Frederick II fought several wars during his 16-year reign. Beyond fighting Bohemia, which was almost a tradition by now, Frederick fought wars against Bavaria and Hungary as well. His warmongering made him deeply unpopular, so much so that the traditional knighthood of the empire, the Ministeriales, attempted to rise up against him, albeit unsuccessfully. In 1241, Frederick fought the Mongols. For 5 years, the Mongols had been making incursions into Europe, with only limited success. They were able to raid Frederick's duchy largely because he had made enemies of his neighbors and was unable to form strong enough alliances to ward the Mongols off entirely. Ultimately, the Mongols were fended off, but more due to their own disorganization than due to any individual effort by the Central European powers. Frederick's end came unsurprisingly in another war, this time again with Hungary. He died on June 15, 1246, in the Battle of the Lether River. That river, remember, is the traditional border between Austria and Hungary. Unfortunately for the Babenbergs, Frederick left behind no legitimate heirs. However, two lines of claimants did emerge. First was Frederick's niece Gertrude, who by the very document according to which Austria was made a duchy was in line to inherit Austria. Upon Frederick's death, King Wenceslaus of Bohemia, a name you've probably heard, although this is not the same as good King Wenceslas, had his son, Vladislaus, marry Gertrude and thus make a claim on Austria. The second claimant was Frederick's sister Margaret. She had previously been married to Henry, the son of Emperor Frederick II, and by him, she had two sons, Henry and Frederick. Both sons challenged Vladislaus's claim, only to be supplanted by their new stepfather when Margaret was married in 1252 to King Ottokar of Bohemia. Apparently, these Babenbergs did not share Frederick's dislike of Bohemian. When Vladislaus died the following year, Gertrude married Margrave Hermann of Baden, who subsequently made the claim on Austria against Ottokar. But Hermann died the following year. Good health was apparently not common back then, and his son Frederick made the claim against Ottokar. Ottokar was ultimately recognized by Pope Innocent IV and Emperor Frederick II. In addition, the Austrian lower nobility supported Ottokar, so as of 1251 or so, Ottokar was, for all intents and purposes, the Duke of Austria. But Margrave Frederick of Baden continued fighting, that is, until 1268, when he too died. For 10 years, Ottokar's rule over Austria was undisputed. Babenberg rule was over. We'll leave things here for this episode. Ottokar will have one more challenge in his life before he shuffles off this mortal coil. The challenger will be a count named Rudolf of Habsburg.